Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-866-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. The Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do you know where that scripture is? It's in Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. And this is when Moses was 120 years old. He thought he was over the hill and he was no use to God anymore. And you know what God said? Be strong. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or troubled. And he was talking to Moses about the enemies that they were going to go in and conquer. But he gave Moses Joshua, a commander of the armies, to go in and destroy the enemy in the promised land. So God gave Moses a wonderful helper. And because he knew that Moses was getting old, 120 years old, that's pretty old. And so he went before him and said, be strong and courageous. God did this. And then the Lord also in Deuteronomy 31, verse 8, that I just read to you, and the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. And I want to say that to you today, friend. I don't know what your situation is, but do not be afraid. God is with you. And it really goes along with the scripture most of you know in Hebrews 13, verse 5b. I will never leave you. No, I will never leave you. Never leave you or forsake you. Praise God. So with laughter, tears, joys, and fears, there isn't a part of your life that God doesn't share. He wants to share everything with you. Yes, everything with you. And there isn't a part of you that he doesn't love. Oh, I wish I could explain that clearly and precisely to so many of you who think that you've done something wrong and that God doesn't love you. Oh, he loves you with that unconditional love today. Praise the Lord. Let's do our Bible slogan. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I do what it tells me to do. This is my Bible. It has given me new life. It is the Word of God. Praise the Lord. You are blessed to dispense, for in Him you live and move and have your being. That's from Acts 17, verse 28. In Him you live and move and have your being. I hope you say that several times a day to your spirit, to your body, and to your mind. They're listening. They're listening. Praise the Lord. They're listening. And if you tell your body that it is in compliance with your spirit that is growing up in the wonderful Word of God, that body is going to begin to cooperate with the Word of God. This Saturday, January 8th, is the next Call to Freedom meeting, and breakfast will be at 8:30. Oh, we had so much fun at Christmas because people were dressed up in their crazy sweaters, and it was so much fun. And we won't have those crazy sweaters this time, but we're going to be praising God for the new year. We're going to have praise and Bible study then at 10 o'clock. We're going to have a great time of fellowship, thanking God for bringing us through this last challenging year. But the best is yet to come. Remember that. And we're going to praise Him into the new year. What a great time of fellowship we will have. Lots of laughter and lots of fun and lots of food. And if you would like to bring a salad or finger food or a dessert. You don't have to, but if you'd like to, I think I'm just going to have a couple pans of lasagna. That's what I'm thinking. That's what I've been thinking for the last week or two. So anything that will go with that or bread, just join us after the Bible study and praise and worship for a wonderful luncheon. If you would like to join us Saturday, January 8th, call me at 1-866-917-7256. And especially for the reservations for the breakfast on Saturday morning at 8:30. So looking forward to seeing you. God bless you. And I was so happy to send $5,000 Friday. I took it to the post office and blessed Samaritan's Purse with $5,000. And I know they can use that for the Kentucky tornado relief. I know that we have a terrible dilemma here in Colorado with the wind, the high winds, and then the fire, and now the snow. It just seems to be problems everywhere. But I believe many agencies are already at work providing housing, some hotels, free stays, and clothing and food. And we praise God for the generous people of the United States. Do you know the United States of America is the greatest giving nation in the world? I mean, the trillions that we give for worlds, for countries all over the world, it's amazing. To God be the glory for that. To God be the glory. I want to talk a little bit about an agreement that President Trump headed up and probably instituted, and with the help of Jared Kushner, brought a historic agreement called the Abraham Accord, and they signed it in front of 700 people, September the 15th of 2020. Now, a lot of people don't talk about it anymore, but the Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Arab Emirates and so many other countries, along with Israel's Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu at the time, he was Prime Minister, and they signed an agreement. And this is the most important part. The peace accord is the first time in decades that any Arab country has been has given diplomatic recognition to the Jewish state. So when you get three or four Arab nations signing an agreement, oh, in the presence of President Trump, this is very important. And so I just want to read a little bit about it. The Abraham Accords Declaration document states that the undersigned recognizes the importance of maintaining and strengthening peace in the Middle East and around the world based on mutual understanding and coexistence. They were signing an agreement that says we do not wish to destroy Israel. Oh, I believe that's so important. And respect for human dignity and freedom, including religious freedom. The declaration was signed by not only President Trump, but the Bahraini foreign minister and Israel's prime minister, and of course, the United Arab Emirates. And aspiring to realize the vision of a Middle East region that is stable, peaceful, and prosperous. I know it's not going to last. I know that. There's going to be great wars. There are rumors of wars and many, many wars out in the world right now. But the fact that they signed an agreement, these Arab countries, giving diplomatic recognition to the Jewish state is so valuable to our country and to other countries. Meeting on August 13th, then, 2020, that is 8 months after they signed the first agreement, these countries reaffirmed the Abraham Accord in a joint statement of the United States. I didn't know they met for a second time. I don't know where I was. The State of Israel and the United Arab Emirates. And this was an exceptional move to name this agreement the Abraham Accord, and I'm sure Jared Kushner had a lot to do with it, because both the Arab and Jewish peoples affirm that they are descendants of a common ancestor. Why did they call it the Abraham Accord? I believe it was a really smart move, because both Arab and Jewish peoples affirm that they are descendants of a common ancestor, Abraham. And it's inspired in that spirit to foster in the Middle East a reality in which Muslims, Jews, Christians, and peoples of all faiths, denominations, beliefs, and nationalities live in and are committed to a spirit of coexistence, mutual understanding, and mutual respect. I praise God for a president who was willing to bring the Middle East nations together in an unprecedented occasion. I thank you, Lord, for President Trump, and I praise you, Lord, that once again we will see a man, a leader in this country, who can bring people together and not just scatter them. I praise you, Lord, and thank you for this wonderful new year. And bless the listeners right now. Bless each and every listener that they may have a new idea and new urgency to please you and to trust you and to live for you in Jesus' name. Our memory verse for this week is Matthew 4, verse 4, and you know this. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I want you not only to say, oh yeah, I know that verse. I want you to say it out loud. Yes, I do. It's like what we have in our power pack. Our affirmations and our scriptures in the power pack are to be read, and Darren used to say, capitalize those letters. Okay, they are to be read out loud, not just thought about, but read out loud. And here it is in the Passion. And Jesus said, bread alone will not satisfy, but true life is found in every word which constantly goes forth from God's mouth. Jesus could have turned the stones into bread, just as he could have called 10,000 angels to deliver him off the cross. But that was not in God's plan. And turning the stones into bread was not in God's plan. Jesus would not be pushed into prematurely demonstrating his power. He was content with the timing of his Father. Oh, that we would be content with the timing of our Heavenly Father. Jesus refused to turn stones into bread to see himself, to feed himself, but he multiplied bread for his hungry followers. Remember, feeding 5,000, feeding 4,000. Today, he is still turning hearts of stone into living bread that will feed the nations with truth. In John 6, verse 51, he says, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread also which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. His flesh on the cross, dying in agony, saved the whole world. Because when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, what he did on the cross will be applied to you in your confession and your repentance. That is such an amazing miracle to me. There aren't words to say, really. There aren't words to say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. My confession for today, I confess that God's supernatural peace dominates me. When I am tempted to get upset and my emotions are all over the place and I try to take and my emotions try to take control of me, I put these emotions aside and allow the Spirit of God to release supernatural, dominating, moderating peace to rule my heart, mind, and my emotions. So you want God's peace to not only rule your spirit, your heart, that's your heart, but also your mind and your emotions, that you don't get upset at just something that happens. Sometimes people who aren't expecting something, when, for instance, when a car hits you from behind, oh, you just go off. You just go off like a bomb. So we're going to ask God to bring supernatural peace to rule our hearts and our minds and our emotions in Jesus' name. And that's what Rick Renner says. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. I got this article from a listener, an email, and I'd like to read it. It's a beautiful article, and it talks about the blood of Jesus, which we can never say enough about the blood of Jesus. It talks about a classroom. We were sitting in the study, and the teacher was holding a scarlet cord. And this is from Mysteries, if you've read that book, by Jonathan Kahn. The teacher was holding a scarlet cord. I dyed it myself, he said. I left it in the solution for several days to make sure the dye soaked into every fiber. Do you think it's possible to undye the cord to make it white again? I doubt it. But it is written, though your sins are as scarlet, I will make them white as snow. And that's Isaiah 1:18. It would be like undying the cord, which would be impossible, I said. But it's even more impossible than that. How do you make sins go from scarlet to white? Sins are sins because they're already committed. They're done. They're part of the past, and the past is finished. Then the only way to alter a sin would be to change the past. Yes. And yet the scriptures are filled with the promise that God will one day wipe away sin and wash away our guilt. You can't wipe away sin or cleanse guilt without changing the past. But it's impossible to change the past, I said. The first recorded miracle of Messiah was the changing of water into wine. But wine is only wine if it's aged. But the wine of the miracle had no past to be aged. Oh, that's so good. You know, when he put that, when he turned the water into wine, wine had not been able to age into that fermented, that delicious wine. Whoa, this is so good. Thus, in a sense, it had to be given a new past. If God can give a past where there was no past, then he can remove a past where there once was one. So I said, salvation is the undying of the scarlet cord. Exactly, said the teacher. God doesn't just forgive the scarlet cord or pretend it isn't scarlet. He changes its past and by that changes reality. He undies it. D-Y-E-S. He undies it. He can do that? I asked. Exactly. God brought time into existence. God can bring time out of existence. You know, some of you listening says, well, God can't do this in my life. Oh, yes, he can. With God, all things are possible, friend. Just believe. And so this story goes on. So it's not simply that everything is the same and we're forgiven in spite of it. It's as if we never sinned in the first place. Whoa. And even more amazing than that, it's not just as if we never sinned, but in his redemption plan, it has become that we've never sinned. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God sees you as you have never sinned. Can I get this to you? Can I get this into your head? When you become born again, God sees you in a whole new light. He sees you by the righteousness of his son, Jesus Christ. So it has become as if you have never sinned in God's eyes. And when you bring that up, that sin up, all over again, over again, over again, oh, it's like a slap in God's face because he doesn't see you that way. Your past has been forgiven and forgotten by God. Why can't you forget it? Why can't you forgive yourself and forget it? In salvation, the impossible becomes reality. The guilty becomes innocent. The tainted becomes pure. The rejected becomes those who are always beloved children. And your sins, where they were as scarlet, become as white as snow. Oh, the teaching point. Soak in the undying. Receive from heaven your changed, innocent, pure, and beloved past. A past as beautiful and as white as snow. And Isaiah 1 verse 18 says, come, let us reason together. And that reasoning is with God. That's reasoning with God's mind in mind. Saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And only God can do that. Yes, amen. Only God can do that. In Luke 7, verse 37 through 50, this is in the Living Translation, and this is a story that Jesus is involved with in Luke. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. That's like me asking a far left to come to my house for dinner. Verse 37 of Luke 7 says, when a certain immoral woman from that city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with the expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet because they reclined at the table. So she knelt behind him at his feet where he was reclining, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of a woman is touching him. She's a sinner. Oh, my goodness. Then Jesus answered his thoughts, Simon, the Pharisee's thoughts. Simon, he said to the Pharisee, I have something to say to you. Go ahead, teacher, Simon replied. Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces to the other, but neither of them could repay him. So he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? And Simon answered, I suppose the one for whom he canceled the larger debt. That's right, Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. The men at the table said among themselves, who is this man that he goes around forgiving sins? And Jesus, ignoring them, said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Do you think the Pharisees had been forgiven? If this last year has left a few relationships in dire need of reconciliation in your life, or if you made a couple of financial blunders, or if you ate too much junk food and your body is talking back at you, you can switch all that around. You can start a new life of doing things God's way. That's what's so wonderful about serving the Lord. You can change what you've been doing. Those stupid things that you thought would help you get on top of things, you can change them. You cannot get on top of things without the Lord. It's such a blessing to know that He's waiting for you to join Him in the things that will bless you. You will feel totally comfortable and loved in the presence of Jesus.
Home in the presence of Jesus, hearing Him call me His own, just feeling at home. I'm feeling at home. Putting my feet right under His table, knowing I won't be alone, just feeling at home. I'm feeling at home. You couldn't I'd find what I found, contentment and peace from above. Feeling at home in the presence of Jesus, laying way back in His love. Warming myself by the fires of His Spirit, camping right close to the throne. Just feeling at home, I'm feeling at home. Accepted and loved and forgiven, a part of His one family. Just feeling at home. You couldn't have told me I'd find what I found, contentment and peace from above. Feeling at home in the presence of Jesus, playing way back in His love.
Feel feeling at home in the presence of Jesus, camping right close to the throne. That's what he wants you. He wants you to be right close to him because, as I said before, laughter and tears and joys and fears, there isn't a part of your life that God doesn't share or a part of you he doesn't love and he wants to be involved with. I'm going back to Luke 7 here just for a few more minutes. The Pharisees and the lawyers rejected God's purpose. They rejected the God who they said they were serving. No, they were serving the law, weren't they? They rejected God's purpose for themselves, not having been baptized by John. And Jesus said to them, "To what then shall I compare the men of this generation, and what are they like? They are like children who sit in the marketplace and call to one another, and they say, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not weep.' For John the Baptist has come eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say he has a demon." There are going to be people, oh, I hope it's not you. I have been through this religious spirit, critical, judgmental spirit. It's gone. It's gone. I have cast it out of my life in Jesus' name. I have bound it and put cords around it and thrown it back into hell where it belongs. Because it is so important that you do not have a judgment or critical thought about anybody. That used to be the first thing. Oh, you know what? Are they of my denomination? Do they go to my church? Oh, look at their dress. Oh, look how they're dressing. That's not our business. That is not our business. And Jesus said here, John the Baptist has come eating no bread, drinking no wine. He's been preaching the gospel that God has called him to preach. And you say he has a demon. You say that he is demon possessed. And God called him and you can't even recognize it. It's like these children. They play the flute for you and you don't dance. And they sang a dirge at a funeral and you didn't weep. You're in a whole different atmosphere, sphere. You're out of this world. God has called us into a new covenant, a new plan, and you're not joining in. And then Jesus says, "The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, 'Behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend of tax gatherers and sinners.'" Ah, when are we going to stop it? When is the body of Christ going to stop it? I just pray that this year you're going to be looking at some of the things you think before you say it. Oh, God bless you. God loves you so much. He loves you with an unconditional love. And he wants you in his plan, not the law anymore, his plan, his new covenant with Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God bless you. Take care of you today. And I'll see you tomorrow, the Lord willing. Take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-866-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.